everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is episode 18, and I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. And with me, as always, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel good. Yeah. I got my little gin and juice.
Oh, gin and juice. I did not drink today. I did not have any alcoholic beverages today. I have a late coffee, though.
Do you drink most days?
I've been having a margarita.
Out of the ordinary not to drink?
I've been having margaritas, right. Like almost every night having one.
Just one.
Yeah, just one, just to have something sweet, but like with a little bit of a kick, get loosened, yeah. make the face mm-hmm. nice and red. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know what I'm ready for, Andy? I'm ready to talk video games. I'm ready to talk.
Me too. I'm so set to go.
This is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I go over the top stories from the big three companies, and we debate who had the best and worst week, as well as discussing video games, past, present, and future. The Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean and including YouTube. And it posts live. We record it live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Sunday night. And we have a blast doing it. And we love you very much. On this week's show, Sony shares some dates. Nintendo can't get it together. And Microsoft shows off. Oh, and Jeff Keighley, he has murdered E3. All this and so much more. But before we get into the show, let me tell you about our two other shows that are on this very same podcast network. That's right. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. You get two other shows. Okay? We have the Dual Screens Podcast. That's an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk about their video game, their story, their career, everything. It doesn't matter what kind of dev they are, programmer, artist, voice actor. It doesn't matter. They have a story to tell, and we are the platform to do it. And Andy, who did we have on coming up this Thursday? Because we already recorded this episode. Who's coming up this Thursday?
Oh, as in, yes, that's right. We had our good friend Mike from Running with Scissors.
Indeed.
Talking about Postal 4. Indeed. No regrets.
No
regrets, baby.
That's right. And this past Thursday, we had Bennett Tyler, one of the developers, one of the creators of Depths of Sanity, which is a underwater Metroidvania title coming out sometime in summer or possibly fall, but not really nailed that down yet. But our other show is a seasonal show, and it's our second seasonal show, and it's Dual Screens Versus, and this is where Andy and I compete. We try and debate random video game and pop culture related topics.
Debate is the best way to describe that show.
With guest moderators, and this coming Friday's show, that posts every other Friday, so you get a little break between. But this coming Friday show is with our good friend of the show, Patrick Hickey Jr. He is our moderator. And then the following week is going to be a friend of the show and host of Till Death Do Us podcast. Matt Murray will be hosting the following show. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
If you want to support us on Patreon, it's very easy. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. You get a member. Any tier gives you a VIP access to our Discord channel where you can chat with us, each other, and our indie dev guests. And you also get a bonus episode each and every month. And we want to thank our producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler, because we cannot continue to grow without his support. So thank you very much and all of your support. All right, Andy, let's get into the news here. We're going to start. Actually, no, it is time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt. The adventures in gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
When the shirt comes out, will you stop doing that?
Possibly.
Okay, I hope so. So, a little Predator this past week with yourself and Mikey Kirsch, good friend of the show.
Yeah.
So, I played a little bit of that, and then I thought to myself, I really miss PS2 games.
Oh, God.
So I played The Thing for PS2. Mm. You remember that game?
Uh-huh.
That was actually a pretty decent licensed game. Because I was thinking about my upcoming video for our YouTubes. Mm-hmm. The next 5 IPs that they should tackle, Ilphonic, for an asymmetrical multiplayer game.
Yes.
That could be a good one. The thing, huh? Where someone is the thing in the group, but they can be a person too, and right. You don't know it.
Like Hello Neighbor.
Yeah, but it's the thing.
Yeah, I like that. That's a cool idea. Invisible Man would make a good one too.
That could work, yeah.
Where you're just invisible.
You could break the game entirely, yeah. It's like, well, that's the whole game.
Where's the killer? We don't know. Fucked. We never know unless he's killing us.
So a bit of that. Cool. And of course, Final Fantasy is still ongoing.
And you finally beat the hard mode.
Yes. Oh my God. Sephiroth is such a pain in the dick. He is a giant pain in the assholes in hard mode. But that's over and done with.
I'm close to the end. I'm in chapter 18. I just crossed
the bridge. Yes, you're right there. Please give it an hour.
I can't beat Bahamut.
He's so easy.
I couldn't. I think I don't have the right materia equipped, and in order to change it, you have to do the whole battle over again, where you're fighting all of those weird guardian things, and it's really annoying because if you fail or you want to start over, you have to go all the way back to that beginning, and that could be like a 25 to 30 minute fight before you even get to Bahamut. So, and it's got a lot of
Is there not like a hold square for menu option before that? You can tinker with your loadout before you go into the actual fight itself. Check for that. That
might be there. Not Bahamut.
Well, you fight the three of them and then they merge, but you don't fight all of them before that. Just retry from before last battle and look for that square icon if it's there.
I don't think it was, because when I died there, it kicked me all the way back. Typically, if there's a spot where you can do that. Listen. And I don't know. I'm going to look up some strategy. I looked up a strategy for one other boss.
If you can make the perfect materia setup, it's worth going back and doing it all over again, because you're stuck at this point, is what it sounds like.
Well, I only tried the fight once and it was like 3:30 in the morning, and then I was like, you know what? My eyes are bleeding. I'm putting this down.
Right. Okay. But you're so close to the end. You're right there.
I know. I'm very close. Loved the setup right before that. I thought that was really cool. I don't know why it went down the way it did, but we're going to do a spoiler cast as soon as I beat this game. So what else? Also, Predator. Yes. Some people really liked us talking about Predator. Like, we convinced people to buy it. I heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I really enjoyed it. The best possible way to play this game is with four of your friends. Group of five, make a private match, just have fun.
Yes.
Alternate who's
people
Predator.
You actually know in real life.
Cause you get a ton of experience either way. Mm-hmm. You can level up, unlock. The unlocks in this game are terrible, except for Predator. Like, Predators are pretty cool, but the way they do unlocks is really, really bad. Like, you get currency. The currency is used to unlock, but then there's also loot boxes that you get, or lockers. You get them very frequently, but they only unlock shaders of things that you haven't unlocked yet with the currency.
It's so worth it.
It's really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is the money you do get is pooled. It doesn't matter if you get that money via experience points playing Predator or playing the soldiers. Like, you can unlock things for either one playing either one.
Right.
So, I mean
it's a fun game, but I think you need another year and a half in the oven, I feel. It's kind of half.
I wouldn't go that far. I think what they desperately need to do is have some sort of auto target or like aim assist on the NPC characters, not necessarily the Predator, because that would make it a little too easy, because the whole point is not being able to really hit them. But I think the NPCs, the shooting's a little floaty. It doesn't really snap like Call of Duty snaps. It looks a little bit like Call of Duty, so you're like, you're expecting that punch.
No, it's not there at all.
Yeah,
it needs like a bot mode too, like a practice mode.
Okay.
For Predator especially. Like, you can play as Predator against bots.
Just run around. Yeah, but if you're playing with your friends, what does it matter?
Right, but I'm saying just to have a little offline play wouldn't have been the worst idea.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. But I still enjoy it. I enjoy my time. If I could get all four people on, like, Mikey Kirsch, my buddy Guy, my Ned, you were playing. There's a couple other people. Mr. Nuff was playing with us.
I enjoyed it so much. I actually had to fish up a legit good headset for next time we play.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, because you sound like you're gargling.
Like in the toilet. Yeah.
And I have also been playing Streets of Rage 4.
Ooh.
Played that for about an hour before we recorded.
That's a good segue. Just saying.
Yes, it is. Good game. Really enjoying it. It's really pretty. It ramps up in difficulty very quickly, which is, I mean, it's par for the course with side-scroller beat-em-ups, but I feel like it's probably one of those games that's designed for playing with your friends, not by yourself, which is how I'm playing it right now. So maybe you and I will link up, play some multiplayer and see how that looks. But all right, so yeah, that's a good segue. So let's segue right into the indie news update, and this is all about Streets of Rage 4. Andy, take it away.
Yeah, so it seems like the GOG version of this game is missing online multiplayer, which is kind of shitty. And it's not even that it's missing and it's a soon-to-come feature. It's not going to be there at all.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't understand so, that at all.
This is coming from GameRant.com, and to sum up a little notes here.
Notes.
So a user asked if they could connect with Steam players, and the developer of Lizard Cube said, "Hello, unfortunately, the GOG version of the game won't be supporting online features, but it costs the same exact amount of money." That's a little strange. Why this of all versions is a little strange to me.
That's a huge portion of what that game is.
Yeah, and also, why is it only two-player online, not four-player online? That's also kind of weird, just in general. Isn't that strange to you?
We asked Lizard Cube.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Lizard. No.
Dotemu.
Dotemu, that's right.
There's like three guys, there's three devs in there. It's all very confusing. Plus, Sega's involved, the whole thing.
We asked them at PAX, and I believe what the answer was that they wanted to focus on couch co-op right now. And I guess the two-player online was just the easier thing to get finished for a
so it's at launch.
Yeah, I think they're gonna work on it because it seemed like they were like four players definitely something we wanted to do, but we wanted to focus on couch four-player co-op. Make sure you know.
Which is, it's a nice thing to focus on. I like it, focusing on getting people at your house and to hang out in the live person, on you know, digitally.
Right.
But yeah, it's weird how this is just not part of the game at launch or ever for GOG. It's why would I support your platform if I can't play with my friends online? And with no real reason why it's not there.
Yeah.
Just nope, we can't do online features.
GOG has a lot of issues sometimes. Like they come and go with their silliness. Yeah. All right. So that's a little bit of weird news on the indie front. All right, hit us up with our first news that didn't make the dual screens report. Ooh. This is the dual screens runoff. Yeah, take it away. We got our first story is a Sony story.
Yes. So we've heard so much about Tempest, and that's Sony's 3D audio engine for the PS5. Mm-hmm. And again, I love hearing tidbits from actual developers about how these things work and how excited they are to be using them. So developer of Hellpoint, the director, Marc-André Jutras, hope I didn't butcher your name there, buddy, was saying in the past, essentially, how 3D audio, it's been around for a long time, that tech, like that feature, but it was always a pain in the ass. It was always done through the CPU, and it was a software-only feature. But now with the PS5 and Tempest, it's a hardware feature. So it's easy as turning on a switch to get 3D audio for a game. And he says that there's no reason now not to do it. So call to action for all your devs out there. 3D audio, if it's this easy, you better damn do it.
I wonder if it is that easy because don't you have to, like, you have to design the levels to have sound coming from specific areas. Like, you can't say, like, what I wonder is if you build a room in like, Unreal 4, whatever. Let's say you build a room, right? And there's a monster in front of you. And you have the sound coming out of that monster. That part's easy. Mm-hmm. Does the engine like determine what that is bouncing off of? Or do the devs have to go in and say, when the monster screams, you hear it from here in front of you, but also it bounces off this wall. So you hear it above your head. You hear like I wonder if you have to physically draw those lines and kind of tell it which part of the speakers to come. You know what I mean? Like which channel it should come out of. I don't
know. Well, Steven, to answer that question, I have to be some sort of biologist because I don't understand the inner ears workings and how the canal functions. Right. So I can't really respond to that. But I'm sure we can find someone who can answer that question.
I'm sure Sony understands it.
Yeah. Again, let's get Mark Cerny on the podcast.
We gotta get Mark Cerny. All right. So the next story, this is a huge story. So it's interesting that this is not the lead story, but we have an update on the whole leak of The Last of Us 2. Apparently they were released by hackers and not affiliated with Naughty Dog or Sony in any way. So according to trusted journalist Jason Schreier, leaked footage of The Last of Us Part 2 was apparently obtained by hackers who used a security vulnerability in a patch for an old Naughty Dog game to access the Californian developer's servers. It's apparently older videos of the development build as well. He quotes, there's a quote here, "Rumors of this being an act of protest by a contractor whose pay was robbed are not true. Naughty Dog actually extended pay and healthcare benefits for contractors during or due to COVID-19. So just to give a kind of roundup here, there was a massive leak of Last of Us 2. People were pissed off either about what the actual game looked like. Apparently, it doesn't matter because it's an older build. And then there was a report coming out that it was a disgruntled employee that didn't get paid or didn't that was treated poorly during crunch. I don't know how you could have crunch when nobody can work in an office. Everybody has to work from home. Are you just sitting there and being like, you're not working 18 hours well, today, son?
Because that sounds more outrageous. That's what's going to get you clicks. It's right. The outrage. So right. We're going to blame crunch on the leak.
But even from the beginning, Captain Crunch, Jason Schreier, yes. The guy who who hates it so much that he's like the guy that breaks all of these things. He's like Captain Union. Even he said, no, it wasn't that. Like they've already – but then – responded to his own tweet saying, I really shouldn't have said that it likely wasn't that because I don't know for sure. It's just based on the sources that he's gathered. He can say that he doesn't think that's what it was. And it turns out apparently it wasn't. It's, you know, now people are putting on their tinfoil hat and saying, oh, it was probably somebody from Microsoft, like whatever. I mean, that's just stupid.
What?
Yeah, it's something. Okay. It's because Xbox all trying right to sabotage there. PlayStation.
We're always going to Alex Jones territory in this podcast, yeah, I feel, every single week.
It's an interesting life we lead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, two things. One, I still haven't have it spoiled, thank God. Knock on wood. But also, you know, I'm happy that it's not a Naughty Dog employee because I was hoping that things were getting better over there, and it turns out they might be actually getting better. But yeah, I mean... whatever. At least it wasn't that. Speaking of leaks, Andy, take the next.
Yeah. Story. So this leak isn't as impactful as, say, a leak of your upcoming AAA first party exclusive game. All right. But Nintendo got a bit of a leak this week as well.
Another leak from Nintendo.
This is from Nintendo Life. A massive Nintendo leak reveals all about the Wii generation, source code, design files, and much more. Now, this would have been cool in like a How the Wii Was Made documentary series. Right. There's a lot of cool stuff here. But the crowning gem is a leaked demo for the N64 of a game called Mirror House Cornflakes.
Oh.
If you haven't seen this video, oh, I my. Encourage you to watch it.
Oh, my. Well, I'm opening this now. Mirror House Cornflakes. All right, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to put this sound nice and low.
Yeah, this is all very interesting. So how did this all happen? Well, apparently there were servers on Broadon were supposedly hacked. This company was hired by Nintendo during the Wii generation to develop both hardware and software. So apparently they had some servers with all the information on it, and I guess all these years later... It's the best game we've never played.
I am concerned for humanity.
Look at it. Isn't it glorious?
No. It isn't. I'll throw that in the chat, I guess.
The name alone is worthy of of a thing that has to be real.
That was supposed to say corn maze, wasn't it?
Maybe, but it's cornflakes.
Perfect. Perfect. So what was the other part of the leak? I'm sorry, I was watching that video.
Oh, it was servers of a company that worked on Wii hardware and software back in the day. Yeah. And I guess they stored all the information and the documentation of the Wii's design and how it came to be.
That's pretty cool.
And those servers got hacked.
Nice.
Why they got hacked after all these years?
Because we're under lockdown and people are bored.
I guess. Just bored, yeah.
That's the answer. That is the answer. Okay, the next story. This is a Microsoft story. And it is one to surely get some Xbox nice and boned up.
What?
Xbox Game Pass clears 10 million subscribers.
That's it?
This is coming from Engadget.
That tiny ass number.
Microsoft's bet on subscription gaming appears to be paying off. The company has revealed that more than 10 million people now pay for Xbox Game Pass, a buffet-style service with an ever-changing library of first- and third-party titles.
Is that across Xbox? Is that consoles and PC users combined, that figure?
Yep, console version, PC version, or you can combine them both for $14.99.
You know,
about a billion people got that for a dollar.
I am semi-alarmed at that figure, to be honest, because that is... without a doubt, the best deal in gaming.
Yeah,
that should be a much larger figure.
There's a much smaller pool of people that play Xbox, and people don't. I see, even unfortunately, even me, like if I had a super PC, I still wouldn't think Xbox for on PC. I always think Steam. Like, no matter what, when I think PC, I think Steam, and slowly Epic Games, but, like, I think Steam. That's where you buy PC games, right? Like, people don't associate Xbox brand with PC gaming, and that I think that's something they really should work on if
right.
they are looking to expand these subscriptions.
You know what I think has to happen, though? I think this whole dollar deal has to go away. Like, it was nice to get folks on board initially and to sort of word of mouth the platform. I say no more. Like, just have it's full price. Have the game speak for the platform and the service. And that will sell it. Because I feel a lot of people, they wait for the dollar discount to hop at, to re-up after they've already had the service for like a month or 3 months or whatever the hell it's going to be.
I guess so. But at the same time, like, I don't think that really matters to Microsoft. Like, Microsoft is cash flush. Like, they're not going to have these kinds of issues. But, like, what they need is the install base. They need people for when third parties don't put their games on Game Pass. Like, they want their little 20% or whatever it is they get from third party game sales. Like, that's where they're going to make their money. They're going to make their money on that. They're going to make their money on subscriptions. They're going to make their money on selling hardware. So, like, here's the thing. Game Pass is a great business model for Microsoft because of what Microsoft has its hands in everywhere else in the world. They have Windows in every PC. They pretty much have a monopoly on operating systems. They can use Game Pass to spread the Xbox brand wherever they really feel like it, including Switch, including, as we've seen, cell phone market, tablets, anywhere. Like, that's what they're doing. That's where Xbox is really focusing on. PlayStation doesn't have that luxury because PlayStation only makes money on games. That's what they do. That's what the PlayStation brand does. So if they do something like this, is something like a Game Pass, they need to figure out a way to make it so that it could be synonymous with gaming no matter where you're gaming. And I don't think Sony's one to want to venture down that path. I don't think they want to go into that. I think they need something competitive. They need something.
You'd have to retool PS Now to some extent.
Sure.
I mean, the system is there. I mean, the foundation is in place for something similar.
Right.
But it has to be totally rethought.
Right. And of course, as Buzz mentions in the chat, that don't forget that there's 90 million active Xbox Live users. That number means way less to me.
It does.
Simply because
it does.
Xbox Live can mean silver members. It can mean multiple accounts on one console. Right. It can mean any number of things. So, like, to me, that means much less. I mean, that's like when Fortnite talks about their people who signed up for an account. Like, I'm sure there's like 500 million people that signed up for a Fortnite account. But it's even the active users, because, like, if I had one Xbox and my wife used a different profile, my brother used, whatever, those are all active users, right? So
right.
I think that, and it's funny that they report on that, but they still won't report on sales of their consoles.
Because that's no longer part of their status quo. It's like they're trying to move that goalpost of we're redefining what success means so it aligns with our new business model, which is users, account openings, and play time, and number of zombies shot in the head.
Right, and that speaks to what I was saying, is that what they care about is getting the Xbox brand everywhere. And actually, if you look back at Xbox One, they were trying that in their reveal when they were talking about, we wanted to be the box in your living room. Xbox One to be the box.
TV. That was the whole big part.
Movies, I recall live sports.
That reveal had more about TV than game, which is all like, I don't care about TV or sports or these weird shows you're working on. What about the games?
Right. And that was and now they're doing that, but they're making it only games, but they want Xbox games everywhere, which is a great idea. Don't get me wrong. It's just when you are also coming out and saying we have the biggest big old dongus in the room with the Series X, but you don't do anything to make it the must have machine. That's where, I mean, we've had this conversation before. That's where you kind of lose me. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Let's move on. This was huge news.
Huge.
Huge, huge ass news. We're getting a brand new Assassin's Creed game this holiday season. That's right.
Assassin.
We're going to the Valhalla times by Odin's beard.
Great Odin's Raven.
Yeah, and that's it. No more Eagles, because Eagles are fucking lame in 2000 and late. Now it's all about Ravens, dude. We got fucking crows and shit. We're not doing Eagles no more. So we got a huge information dump, a lot to go through, a lot to unpack, but I won't do all of it.
Sexy cinematic trailer.
Just, yeah, which again, it was nice to see a nice CG trailer, but I'm going to harken back to a few things here. One, Killzone 2, and two, Dead Island. Gorgeous CG trailers.
Correct.
They don't say dick about the game. Okay. So yeah, it's nice to share a vision about how gory it's going to be and how brutal it's going to be. It's Vikings, but
how much murder.
It doesn't tell me much. But fortunately, we did get a lot of information courtesy of Ubisoft. So we're playing as a character named Avon. Mm-hmm. That's how it's pronounced. I believe that's the proper weird spelling aside, which you can play as a male or female version of the character. Mm-hmm. So we're ditching the Odyssey model of having two distinct male and female characters. It's just right. One that's it's the lead, and boy or girl, doesn't matter.
And they did cool. Come out and say that both the male and female will both be canon in the story. So I guess it doesn't
right. Really matter. Which is weird. I think they went... Alessandra was the canon main character for Odyssey. Was that right. how you landed on that?
No, I think they were both canon, but they had
no. I think I'm gonna challenge you on that. No, it was same exact story. I think she was like the considered actual character in the AC lore, as it were.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we can pick another one, two characters. But they announced a bunch of shit, like you can have a tattoo parlor or a blacksmith shop or build a barrack or.
It's got a huge rap. Town building mechanic.
You can rap. Yeah. There's rap battles mm-hmm. and some shit. You can make your own online Viking. You can send to other people's, I guess, missions or servers, and they can fuck shit up, apparently.
That's pretty cool.
And this is going to be a weird side note from me, but I'm going to get a little hot take moment in the podcast.
Hot
if you
take
don't mind.
Coming in. Do hot take.
Of course, we now know that this game allows same sex fucking.
Same sex, which is
great. And it was a headline that spread very quickly after it was revealed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, two things here. The first being that this was also the case in the last game. Great. Mm-hmm. If you were, I think his name was Demos, or what the fuck his name was. I don't know. The dude name. The dude bro.
Dude,
he could, you know, bang dudes and chicks. Awesome. I mean, the Greeks did it best. Well, that old butt loving. That's where it came from. And same for Alessandra. She could bang chicks and dudes. And remember the whole thing with about she had to marry some guy, had a baby. Everyone was all pissed off about it. Remember that shit?
That DLC, right?
All right. Yeah. So, you know, it's been established that there's many romance options in these games.
Correct.
Great. It's old hat. It happened already.
But Vikings don't do that, Andy.
Well, you know, if the Greeks did it, then the Vikings have no excuse. Because the Greeks were way more brutal than the Vikings. At least the Spartans were. So my whole thing, Stephen, is as a gay, as a member of the gay, I find it a little cringy when I see headlines that are like, hey, guess what? You can bang the same sex in this upcoming AC game.
Yay!
Now, it's not so much that it's the option that's why it's cringy, because I'm all for, you know, banging dudes as a dude. I'm all for it throughout my entire life, though. My whole thing is it doesn't help to normalize that lifestyle when it's put up as some sort
as
of
a bullet point.
Othering of it. Like, you don't see you can bang the opposite sex because it's considered quote-unquote normal.
Here's my advice.
I know it's on Ubisoft saying in their press release, you can bang dudes as a dude.
Exactly. Yeah, that was
it's a selling point. It's journalists trying to get a headline, and they're fishing for something to put up there to get, you know, rage clicks. People don't like that, but it's going to stir some sort of, you know, online outrage.
They don't like it. Those are the people that are going to click it.
Right. So my advice to Ubisoft and to any other developer that's going to have any sort of gay romance, trans romance, bi romance, fucking pansexual romance, if someone asks you, just say, I don't know. We might. Just don't answer it.
Play the game. Find out yourself.
Because the second we stop drawing attention to it, is when it becomes sort of a normal part of a game. And in this series, it already is normal. It's happened already. I can expect it going forward. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I listen, it's one of those catch-22s where mm-hmm. you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you, right. If you don't say something, then that community specifically is going to be looking for it. Is going to be asking the questions. Right. They're going to want to know if they're represented in the game in some way. It's
right. But the issue there is that a good fraction of those looking for that option are not playing the game. They just want to know if there's representation of them in media in general.
Right.
What was that aspect?
Now, we're at 30 minutes into the recording, mm-hmm. and for the first time ever, for the first time ever, I need to step away.
What?
Because my daughter is asleep on her bedroom floor right now.
And did she fall off the bed?
I don't know, but she's sleeping next to her bed. So, and my wife is not home. She should be home in a few moments, but I want to go check on her and make sure.
Are we cutting to commercial? Is that what's happening?
No. What I want you to do is talk to the chat. Okay? Talk to the chat.
Oh, shit. I got to pull the chat up. It's not even up.
So, chat, queue up some questions for Andy while I go take care of my family. BRB.
I will answer any questions regarding gay sex on the chat. I will take all your Q&A. Let me just pull it up really quickly. Mm. Oh, that's an unfortunate screen cap of me on the chat. That's unfortunate. Oof. Lol at the gay. Okay, great. Can I see more of the chat? Let's go. We're live. Okay. Yes, start watching. Oh, I'm going to mute myself here. That's unfortunate. Okay, welcome to the chat. Nothing's going on. So I guess I could talk more about the gay things in this game that have me... Oh, hello, yes, hello, Buzz. Yes, hi. Buzz, ask me all of your questions. Oh, do I put beans in the chili? Yes, you do put beans in the chili. Yes, it is the Zach and Andy show. So, Buzz, give me some questions I can answer for you on this lovely stream right now. I'm enjoying my little drink, talking about gay sex. It's always fun to talk about gay sex on the chat. It rarely happens. I could enlighten you about the... Yes, we are playing Streets of Rage 4 at some point. I have the Xbox Game Pass, so I have the game, obviously. So we should get on that at some point. That'd be nice. I played a little bit last night with my brother. We got wrecked early on, but you know what happens. We're a little drunk. It's okay. Drink is so good. Yes. Yes, I am definitely hard, Buzz. Oh, yeah, and the game is hard, too. Yes, yes, yes. 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 This is just... Listener, for those who aren't on the chat right now and those who are joining us tomorrow for the post-recording non-live version of the show, this is why you subscribe to this content. It's for these long, awkward moments where it's just me talking about the pluses of the gay sex. And I see Super Nintendo in the chat is wondering, he's questioning his subscription and his following on this stream right now, as he should. Oh, Buzz, what games am I looking forward to? Off the bat, Maneater. That's the end of May. May 27th, it's coming out. Because I'm a huge fan of sharks, huge fan of Jaws. And the idea of playing as a shark, I can level up and evolve into different things, like make it made of stone or have like zappy zap powers. I'm all for it. Oh, I think Steven's back. I heard some rumbling in the background. Or he died. You came with the hardest time possible.
Live podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Emphasis on hard there, Super Nintendo Dad.
What's up, Super Nintendo Dad? All right, folks, I'm back. Sorry about that. Daughter was out.
You should say goodbye because I think Super Nintendo is leaving after all the gay sex talk.
Oh, it's my goodness.
It's just over with. He's like, oh, this is it. I'm done.
All right, and unsubscribe. Okay, so let's move on then. Let's get into the actual dual screens report. We have four stories, one from each of the big three companies, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, and then one wild card topic. And that wild card topic may or may not be the winner of the week. We don't know because we will determine that
it might
at
be
the end. So, Andy, you are starting us off here with a Sony story.
Ooh, we got some release dates. Things have happened. Things have shifted. Oh, we've gone from Last of Us 2 being delayed indefinitely to a June 19th release date, just 3 weeks shy of its initial date. Now, this is here because I want to discuss with you, this is a result of the leak. It has to be. There's no question in my mind that this date is a response to the leak of the entire game on the internet. Because why? How could you go from a solid release date to it's now indefinite due to COVID and only change it by 3 weeks? Seems a little weird to me. Because you could just say, hey guys, the game is not up to snuff. We're unsure about COVID.
Okay, well, that wasn't the issue. I thought we had this conversation already, Andy.
What?
The issue was supply chain. They couldn't get the amount that they think they needed to fulfill pre-orders. I am positive that's what it was.
Nah.
Yes. So what I believe happened 100% was, especially with GameStop possibly going out of business throughout all of this, what I believe happened was they saw the number of pre-orders that they had to fulfill, plus the, you know, whatever percentage that they have in their algorithm that tells them, or in their formula that tells them how many above pre-orders they need to produce. And they weren't getting the news they wanted from the people that are making these discs and the games and the special editions and et cetera, et cetera. They weren't getting those numbers. So they said, we don't know if this is going to change anytime soon. We have to postpone this. Otherwise, we're not going to have supply that didn't happen to Final Fantasy because Final Fantasy was early enough. They already started production before COVID went apeshit bananas. So, and then when it started to pick up craziness, that's when they had enough of their products to release. Whereas I think with this game, I think what would definitely happen, eventually we're going to find out, right? That somebody's going to ask the questions. And so, yeah, I think that they probably wanted, let's say, 6 million physical copies to send out right away. Maybe they were only going to get 3 based on the time frame. And then what I think happened was they started making deals elsewhere. And again, this is speculating, but this is kind of as I started working in video game development and publishing. So just based on like conversations I had with like how things kind of work, there are so many different companies and different manufacturers that you can go to kind of make ends meet, but you still have to, in most cases, you have to honor your agreement with the companies that you already signed on to make the game. But so I'm wondering if those contracts were kind of void because the company couldn't meet the demand. So Naughty Dog and Sony went elsewhere to produce the games. And then as the rest of the world is starting to come back and manufacturing, they realize they could meet the demand. They'll delay it another couple of weeks just to kind of build up stock and then send everything out for the release. That's
right.
What I think, because Ghost of Tsushima didn't really, it only moved the appropriate amount of time. It didn't move like, you know, kick the can down the road. So I think Ghost of Tsushima
wasn't
really...
Well, that's what happened. They got pushed to July.
Well, they got pushed, but they got pushed the same amount of time. Everything kind of just shifted back. So I think it was all manufacturing is what...
It just seems to me like when they first delayed Last of Us, they could have said easily, well, if it's a supply chain issue, this might affect Ghost. We're not going to say as of yet, but that might get changed to it down the line. We're not going to announce that yet.
The bar is probably much lower for Ghosts, though.
True. It's a new IP.
You know, they may only need 3 million copies of that game, you know, like at least the first week or
but
so.
But they did
know?
Say they wanted to have like the launch atmosphere to be the right atmosphere. They were saying that launching it during COVID made no sense. Like
they didn't say that in their release. They said they didn't say, oh, we don't feel right releasing in this time. It was more about
the right atmosphere to launch the game.
That wasn't them. They didn't say that.
Wasn't that Naughty Dog's words?
No, I don't believe so.
I'm sure that was someone's words at some point.
Let's find
it. Having the right
atmosphere. That was all other people guessing that, oh, maybe it's not a good idea to put it out there.
I think that was in the lingo. Something about the atmosphere and having the right kind of mindset. In any case, I really feel like this is a result of the leak. Like, you can say it's a supply chain thing and then they got it resolved, yada yada. But I think when you have a leak of that magnitude and without any real context of the scenes and what people are actually watching during these leaks, they had to scramble and get a release date as soon as possible. That made sense for them. And only 3 weeks is not a huge, it's not a huge thing. Like if they said, hey guys, we're having supply chain issues, we're pushing it back by 3 weeks. Great, cool, awesome. That's great.
But then, okay, then if it wasn't ready, so you delayed it because it wasn't ready, why?
The timing
you're saying that it was, look
when we got this announcement. It was so close after the leak. It was like days later.
I think it was right on the heels of the leak. I think they announced the new date. I think they figured out a date that they can do it, and they said, okay, that's the date. And then they were forced to announce that date earlier than they wanted to because of the leak. I don't think they chose this date. Otherwise, they would choose something way sooner, especially if it wasn't related to actual logistical printing the discs issues.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what their official thing was. As you've this is when they first delayed it. Mm-hmm. As you've likely just seen, the release of The Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed. We're sure the news is just as disappointing to you as it is to us. We wanted to reach out to all the community to give you a little more information. The good news is we're nearly done with the development of The Last of Us Part 2. We are in the midst of fixing our final bugs. However, even with us finishing the game, we are faced with the reality that due to logistics beyond our control, we couldn't launch The Last of Us Part 2 to our satisfaction. We want to make sure everyone gets to play The Last of Us Part 2 around the same time, ensuring that we are doing everything possible to preserve the best experience for everyone.
Yeah,
because some people would have to, you know, wait a week to get their copy because Amazon didn't ship it out.
Or just buy it online. Do it digitally.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't do that, unfortunately. We're bummed about the decision, but ultimately understood it's the best and fair to all our players. I think the reason why they're saying the best experience is because they don't want only digital people to be playing it day one. They want people that pre-ordered this already to get their copy on time. Otherwise, they're going to cancel that pre-order. And then Naughty Dog, there's probably some sort of gray area with like partnerships. You can't tell people to, cancel their pre-orders and buy it digitally. That will fuck us. So,
well, didn't all the pre-orders get canceled? Isn't that what happened when this news?
They said they would honor cancellations.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't Naughty Dog that said that. That was the stores. It was like GameStop. I don't know. Maybe not GameStop. GameStop doesn't anything. They don't give back anything. But yeah, they don't mention anything about the atmosphere. They don't mention anything about COVID. All they say, plagues and yada yada. All they mention is the fact that it was logistically beyond their control.
All right, but I think the leak played a part in this.
I think
it had to.
Only part I think it played was that it pushed them to announce the date sooner than they wanted to, because it wouldn't make sense. Like, the date itself makes perfect sense. It's fine. It's a little bit less than a month, which could rent, you know, you picture what, maybe they could do 500,000 press. I don't know how many you press in a week, but maybe that gets them up to, you know, another 1.5 million, 2 million, whatever copies. I don't know. But also they typically ship discs to the distributors, to the actual like distribution centers. They usually ship them 3 weeks before the game is out. So if it's a 3 week push out, then that kind of makes sense that they needed their ending manufacturing, or, you know, that first batch of manufacturing 3 weeks later. Thus, they need to ship them out to distributors for, you know, 3 weeks before the game. I don't know. There's a lot of murky water here, but I don't think they were like, well, we got to pick a date now because the leak is out. I think it was like, Sony thinks about these things way, way too far in advance for that to have been like, yes, they got caught with their pants down, but they could have said, hey guys, we're sorry. We can't rush this thing out just because leaks are out there. Like, why would they do that? Like, the game was near complete. They're going to have a date for it. And it makes sense.
Well, listen, it had an end of May date. So it had to be near complete. That's without question.
Right.
Like, the game was done at that point. It had to have been done. So,
but to say that the delay was because there was a plague happening and they didn't want to seem insensitive when a Plague Tale Innocence, well, I guess that came out before, but like, there's a ton of plague games out right now. I mean, for fuck's sake, the most popular game on mobile right now is Plague Inc.
Do you think people are going to be offended by a game that has plague themes in it?
No, but you know who will be. You know what will happen is mainstream news is going to pick it up and say, insensitive Sony comes out.
It's going to drive more sales.
Right.
That's what that always works.
Sony knows that, which again, proves my point that it has nothing to the original release date. Like, this is exactly when you want to release a game about a plague. During a plague. Look at all the movies that are popular on Netflix. They're all plague movies, for God's sake.
I know.
All right, so let's move on. We're going to get on to a Nintendo bit of news here. So Nintendo has canceled, or they didn't. We assumed they were going to have a June E3 presence. E3 is gone, and now so is Nintendo from June. At least it seems like it. This is coming from NintendoLife.com, and this is apparently from Eurogamer. I don't know.
Why is it a question mark?
Because why didn't we just go to Eurogamer? But whatever. Eurogamer understands that Nintendo had told publishers set to reveal games during the showcase that it needs more development time on its first-party games. Work is currently being held up as the famously secretive company adapts to staff working remotely. This shocks me 0% that Nintendo was not prepared to work online.
Nope. They're all on dial-up, Steven. That's how it works over there. They all got Net Zero accounts and the AOL free disk. That's how they do there. That's how they do online.
Do you watch Parks and Rec? Because I just binge watched the whole series the last week. So this week they had a reunion show that they did all remotely. Like they were all like catching up with each other via internet because they're all going through the COVID. But whatever. Anyway, they did a like best of thing before the episode, and one of the things they said was that Chris Pratt used to improvise a lot of really funny lines that would make it in the show. That's no surprise. But one of them was he was in the computer. Leslie was sick with like the flu. She's got all these coats on, and as she's leaving, he says, "Leslie, I put in your symptoms into the Google into the search bar, and it says that you may have connectivity issues." Because he was just putting the words in the address bar and he wasn't hooked up to the internet. So that's what I picture Nintendo is like. Because have you tried to visit somebody in Animal Crossing yet?
So yeah, so here's what I find.
It's a 9-step process, for Christ's sake.
This is why this is kind of weird to me. We're not talking about a game release. It's just showing off upcoming titles and right. content that was made, like a little slice of that, of said upcoming game.
Right.
Why is that? That shouldn't be impacted by this. Like, you should have footage of Breath of the Wild 2. No excuse. Bayonetta 3. No excuse. Well, Metroid Prime 4. Something.
They can't like, physically be beat their staff, though. They can't physically beat their staff if their staff are not in the same room.
Right. So they're not really working. They're just lounging, right. playing
just
Animal Crossing.
In their living rooms. In their undies.
Right. Right. It just seems weird to me. Like, this isn't about a game that's not coming out that you're pushing back because of COVID or of working remotely. It's you showing off things that are happening this or even possibly next year.
They're just why
can't you show that
for anything when it comes to technology? I don't
know. You can't show the new Smash Fighter? You can't show some new shit for Smash? I don't get it. This seems inexcusable to me.
Unless this kind of is like a peek behind the curtain and they are never prepared for their directs, which is why they announced them so late.
True.
You know, they're like, hey, there's going to be a direct tomorrow because we finally fucking finished that thing we wanted to show you.
Yeah, but you spend so much time doing directs and indie games and shit, you can't do it. Like, where's your own stuff? What are you doing? What are you doing with yourselves?
Nobody knows.
Andy. Bravely Second 2, No More Heroes 3. There's things you have. You have things to show. You are working, yes?
Show me the money, as they say.
COVID just happened. It's like only like almost 2 months old.
There's been like 18 months.
You've had a year. You've had over a year since the last E3 to prep this year's. Like, it was just canceled. What, last month?
Yeah.
What were you going to do?
And you still have a month.
Right. Like, did you have no... What was your game plan?
To be fair, the article does not say it is canceling. It's just that it's likely to be.
Steven, I'm in the event space. Like, you have these things, these big temple events planned out months in advance. There must have been a game plan ahead of time. Here's our showcase for E3. Great. Awesome.
You did it.
Congratulations. Yeah. They should not have, yeah. For fuck's sake, Shin Megami Tensei 5. That was announced 3 years ago.
Say that three times fast.
Shin Megami Tensei 5. That was announced 3 years ago. We've seen nothing of it. I'm so perplexed by this.
Nintendo gonna Nintendo, you know?
They aren't Nintendoing. They're not Nintendo. They're Nintendo-ing. Exactly. Oh, yes. Painless in the chat. The beard is in protest. I refuse to get a haircut because I can't, and I won't do it myself.
Oh, speaking of, I got a haircut today. You want to see it? Look at that.
I can see it. I can see your face. Yes.
I look fresh today. I look fresh.
You do look fresh, yeah.
Speaking of E3, Andy, our final news is a wild card news, and Jeff Keighley is coming to the rescue.
He is.
Jeff Keighley is launching the Summer Game Fest to capture gaming's biggest unveilings. Mm. I feel like unveilings would be the word there.
Except for Nintendo.
Well, obviously, yes. Jeff Keighley, this is coming from VentureBeat.com. I love VentureBeat, actually.
Great site.
Their ads are annoying, but I love them. Jeff Keighley, the organizer of the Game Awards, is announcing the Summer Game Fest today. It's a four-month-long season of game industry news events.
Oh my God.
The top platforms and game publishers. Is each of the big three going to get their own month?
Well, now they have no excuse, Nintendo. They got to do it at some point.
Nintendo will just be September. Let them be September.
Yeah, get September. It's all yours.
Yeah. June will be Microsoft because they're ready for that shit.
Can I just say that Jeff Keighley is now, he is the Thanos of the gaming world. He's like the Thanos. Fuck it. I'll do it myself. I'll do my own E3.
Okay.
Then he snaps and he kills E3.
See, I was thinking more like Doctor Strange, where he was like, all right, everything's going to shit. I need to sit here and check out 10 million possibilities and how I can make this work. Okay, there's only one. We have to do a four-month gaming festival, online gaming festival, and figure this shit out. What do you – hey, EA, what do you got? All right, you're July.
Yeah,
excellent. Your second week of July is all you guys.
I love how he's like, I could do 1 month, but I could also do four. Let's go with four.
Doing the entire summer, apparently.
Just do the 12 months of gaming.
The 12 months of
do
gaming.
Do like EA, Activision.
Three delayed games. Microsoft's got nothing.
Being it's smart for indie games.
I like that. So the new festival will be a substitute for the now canceled Electronics Entertainment Expo E3. And it will be organized around an online hub for announcements from May to August. Excuse me. One of the big events will include content related to the May 7th news for the Xbox Series X and will culminate with Keighley's broadcast of opening night for the now all-digital Gamescom. The cool thing here is that I'm going to get down to a quote. Here it is. E3 was a singular week, but now that things are digital, we can pull everything together into a season from May through August for video games events, Keighley said. I found every game company scattered away from E3, but everyone wanted some unifying principle to pull the industry together. I felt the need for it and came up with this idea and talked to everyone. How it's amazing to me. Like, I don't know Jeff personally, and I know that he does a lot for the industry, but the fact that he's able to speak to everyone, like,
he's that guy, dude.
I know. It's
he has that. He's been around for decades.
It's a great way to let fans know what's going to be out there.
Did you see who's on this roster? We got Warner Brothers. So now we can't hide anymore, Rocksteady. You can't hide from us anymore. This is it. This is fucking it.
They're going to air on all major streaming platforms: Facebook, Mixer, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube Gaming. And there's also going to be demos that are going to go live for those that like time period. So like,
right.
Almost like E3, you know, like show floor demos and stuff like that. It's going to be cool.
But
it's going to be really cool.
This, if this is what I think it's going to be, if it's huge, E3 is no longer viable in its current format. And
yes, 100%. And the last line of this whole thing is what really is why Jeff Keighley is who he is. He says, we're going to produce the show this year in December. And now, of course, he's talking about the Game Awards. Mm-hmm. 99% of our audience is digital around the world. It's been 5,000 people gathering in a physical place, but I'm realistic that you have to have backup scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
That is why E3 fails. That's why they're going to continue to fail, is because they are catering to, at the most, 2-3% of their audience physically in that space.
You know, it really goes to show you how those who run E3 live in like the Stone Age, because right now, like, we're at work. We're not at work anymore. We're on a little bit of a pause because of COVID, but we're thinking of how we can approach events in this new kind of paradigm of COVID and being in a virtual space, how to make it more engaging. The fact that you had events being canceled, no one thought to say, okay, how can we reshape E3 in time for June to make it a more digital friendly format where everyone can still have their say and their spotlight and everyone's involved. Nope. We're just going to cancel it. All right. They could have had this before Jeff jumped in.
Right.
They allowed Jeff to take this from them, essentially, is what's happening.
And I'm actually kind of shocked that they didn't. I mean, maybe they are somehow, but I'm shocked that they didn't want to be involved in this in some way. Like, I'm sure they already sunk a ton of money into E3, and now it's not happening. You know, I'm sure they want to recuperate something. Like, even just throwing your name on it, and like, I don't know. It just seems like stay
relevant somehow.
Yeah, it's. I think they're done. I think they're in less than a year and a half. They're going to be gone completely. All right. So take our final story here. This is the Microsoft story. I just thought the two E3 ones kind of segued nicely. So
I was like, I know you hate Microsoft a lot, but damn, bro, you skipped the whole story.
No, those were good. Those were good. It was a good segue. All right. So hit us up with the Microsoft.
Speaking about games, we want to see. We're going to see some Series X games next week. Oh, yeah. Thursday, May 7th at 8 a.m. PT. That's pigeon time, in case you're wondering. Yep. we're checking out our first look at next-gen gameplay from our global developer partners. Ooh. So it's confirmed we're seeing the first exclusive reveal gameplay of the new Assassin's Creed game, which has, by the way, a marketing deal with Microsoft.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't mention this before. The whole smart delivery system.
Microsoft is looking to get back on top of the games industry.
If you buy it on the old Xbox Series.
Sorry, the GameSpot's website autoplayed a fucking video.
I was like, what did I say? Why are you yelling at me, Dad?
I just had some weirdo talking in my left ear.
So we're getting Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I can assume we're getting Cyberpunk at this thing. It's going to happen.
Yeah, probably.
I think they're going to lean in more to their third-party partnerships. It's what it seems like to me.
You know what else I think we're getting, Andy, on this?
What?
I think right after Cyberpunk, they're going to show...
Gears Pop 2.
No. Witcher 3 Series X.
Oh, my God.
You know what's going to happen, and it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be the complete package, all the DLC.
And also on smart delivery. You get if you own it, you get it for free.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. That'd be a good sales pitch. Which actually, I want to ask you a question.
Sure, about smart delivery. Yeah.
Well, first of all,
I do know how it works. I did extensive research. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, this was also known as originally cross-buy, as us old timers call it.
For PlayStation fans, yes.
Yes. So let me ask you a question. Let's say you wanted to get the new hot shit Assassin's Creed Valhalla. You love that franchise, and you want the best version of the game.
Yep.
Series X, baby. Mm-hmm. It's got the best graphics. Got 4K. All the FPS, got all of it. But
all the gay sex you want. Yep.
If all the gay sex, all the dongs in the holes. If the game, if you can buy the quote unquote not so sexier version of the game on your Xbox One, and you have the better version waiting for you in the Series X, does that somewhat disincentivize you from buying a Series X?
Initially, probably, but at the same time, like, I think this is their...
Because, and from my stance, I feel, listen, I'm an early adopter as far as consoles go.
Right.
I want the latest one, and that's fine. I'll buy a PS5, I'll buy a Series X. I'm cool with that. It's a nice option for those who can't afford the next system, that they have a better version of the game they bought now somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I think Microsoft is pricing the Series X to be the early adopter premium thing. So they are working very hard to make it so that Xbox One X owners aren't screwed because the Series X comes out. So I think they're probably going, hey, CD Projekt Red, do us a favor. Make this thing... automatically upgrade on Series X if people get that, because the thing's going to be expensive. We're probably not going to have a lot of them out the gate, as history has shown that almost every console launch has supply issues in the beginning. We don't want people getting screwed out of this thing. So do us a favor here. We'll give you $3 million.
Right.
Make it whatever. And they're like, okay.
Now we could at this point speculate as to what's going to be shown at this presentation. Could it be Halo? Could it be that for the new Forza game? Could it be all those rumors about what was it again? It was Perfect Dark. Oh, but you know what? I think I want to take a moment and say that I'm glad that they're showing something. Like, I like how we have a new system coming out in a couple of months. Here's some games. Here's some gameplay. Enjoy.
Yeah, no, it's good, but at the same time, doesn't it, as somebody who wants to be a day one adopter of these things, which I am one of those people, and I know you are, doesn't it make you a little bit, like, slightly annoyed that the thing they're hyping up is the Xbox Series X version of something you can buy for the thing you still have?
Well, isn't that going to be the case for all their games? For the first year and a half,
yes,
at least?
Yes, it is. But when you say showing a first look at Xbox Series X gameplay next week, yay! But does it really matter because there are games I could buy on everything else?
Right.
It's going to look cool.
It sort of takes the air out of the balloon a little bit when you put it that way. But again, it's also showing off the system in a more, I hope...
That's what I'm
more of an intimate look at it, yeah. Like... Game more of a teardown, which we haven't had plenty of it this far. But like again, showing more, just really, you got to really push why I want to buy this system.
Right.
You got to sell it to me.
And when I, like, for example, when they show Cyberpunk, when they show videos of it or like gameplay videos, like almost everybody says, "Oh, that's the game. That's the PC build, obviously, because it's the highest quality build you can build." Right. So. It's cool that you're going to say, no, this is not PC. This is the Series X. This is what you're getting with that. That's cool. But at the same time, it's that same thing of like, it's something I might not be able to afford right away. So it's cool that you're showing me that. But
and also, like, don't pull like a Xbox One X reveal. And when you're showing like at E3 that one time, and it was like, this is our monster system. It has all these teraflops. And then you go into like a 20-minute talk about a super duper graphics pack for Minecraft that has yet to this day been released.
they're not going to show any first party stuff because they're specifically saying it's a third party inside Xbox. So they're not going to show any of those first party games. But they.
That's also been that was a key sticking point for me for many E3s. It was when they would open up their show with like. A third-party game. It looks gorgeous, and it's an exclusive reveal, whatever the fuck that means.
Call of Duty.
Like it matters. But I can get this game anywhere. It's nice that you're showing it off for the first time. Great. But, like, why am I buying your machine?
Right.
Like, that's just... It's ancillary. I get it. It's if it's nicer here, tell me why.
And the day one adopters know that there's going to be very little difference between these two systems, if any at all.
For these first slate of games, most definitely.
Like they're both running AMD technology. I think PlayStation's a custom Navi 2 processor. Mm-hmm. Series X is a, I don't know. But, you know, they're going to be very similar. They're going to be probably up to par to be, especially in the first year and a half, 2 years. It's really only when they get used to the system architecture that games are going to, you know, start.
If anything, they're showing off their marketing partners at this point. Here's who we partnered with: Ubisoft, CD Projekt Red, etc. That's all it's going to be WB. Essentially, like a big marketing jerk off for like.
Maybe they have a WB reveal. Maybe they're the place that the WB game gets revealed. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, you're showing off your marketing rights. That's fine. I get it. But yeah, what can you do?
It, you know what would be really cool is if they show all like they show like three or four games running on the same Series X console and they just seamlessly go from game to game.
Or just show that feature. You think they'll do like an Xbox One version versus a Series X version, like a side by side?
That would be cool, but I feel like they don't want to slap the people who bought a One X in the face.
True. Then yeah.
You know, I don't think they want to be like, "Hey, you fucking tool bags that spent $500 on the 1X. Look what you could have got if you waited 2 years."
And you know, that's I think my biggest takeaway this gen from Microsoft is I was looking at the market and saying, "Do I want to invest in the Xbox stock right now? I don't know. I could buy in; it's pretty high, but all right, it's going down a little bit. All right, should I buy in now? Buy in now? No, I'll wait. And now it's like, yes, now I think I'm going to buy in for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Again, I need to see what PlayStation's going to do before I make this decision. I can't make the decision without seeing both consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing what's going
to
be
there. It's all going to come down to games. That's the key feature, is what games you're peddling in the launch window.
Mm-hmm.
Specs is one thing. I'm not a specs whore. Because again, the games will look so similar, you can't tell the difference. Like, I don't care about it being like the slightest bit nicer looking on one system over the other, or this one can load a little bit faster than the other one. I'm not going to care about that. What games am I playing mm-hmm. on each system, and which ones are the ones I should be playing?
We'll see.
Yes.
All right, so it's time to pick our winners and losers of the week. Andy, who do you have winning and losing this week?
Ooh, let's see. I think a loser is Nintendo. Because we made a huge case before. There's no reason why you can't put like a 10-minute thing about games you've been working on for the last
literally
year and a half.
Any game you're working on.
Yeah, to show something. Like, you can't blame everything on COVID. That's how it works. It's like my mom, but I called you. When did you answer the phone call? Corona.
Sorry, there was a manufacturing issue.
Right.
With
when the fiance is like, oh, why can't you, weren't you in bed yet? It's late. Corona. Can you walk the dog? Corona. It's like when a girl's pregnant, like they can dodge any social engagement or write off any sort of chore. I can't. I'm pregnant.
Kids and then, let you do that too.
And then when you're afterward, I can't. I have to watch the baby. I can't. I got the baby. Now it's like, I can't. The COVID. It's equalized everyone.
It's put everybody on equal footing, yes.
So you got no excuse, Nintendo. This is bullshit. I call bullshit. This is bullshit. And the biggest winner, I think, is Jeff Keighley. Because Jeff, he's a smart man, and he's capitalized on a gaping hole, which I love, my gaping holes, in the industry.
Who doesn't?
People in this day and age, they want to see announcements from their favorite game developers and companies. And most of us tune in online. So now you have, again, equal footing. You're taking the whole boys club mentality out of E3, where it feels like a special thing that you can't be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that before. And it sucks to be told you can't come to the party.
Right.
You can't. You are not allowed into the clubhouse. This is, we're all the clubhouse. No matter where you are, no matter where you be, you're at the clubhouse. Agreed. And it's 4 months of clubhouse fun, baby.
Oh, we're all going there.
Right.
God, our lives are going to be so miserable. What if we all have to go back to work? Ugh. You have to go back to work and all this shit is happening?
I don't know.
Buzz will be
happy
because he doesn't
work. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I really miss going to work.
JK, LOL.
I miss going to the office. I miss my team. I miss people. I miss interaction.
My
whole life is based around getting people together.
I just
want to
know I'm going to get deathly ill because I went to work. My biggest winner this week is also going to be Jeff Keighley, and my loser this week is going to be also Nintendo. I think that it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely pretty straightforward. Although you could go with GOG.
You could go with GOG. But at least they have the game.
True.
They need to postpone the game. We can't get it together because we can't talk. We have dial up. We can't show you. We can't give you guys Streets of Rage 4 this week. I'm sorry.
Buzz Killington, write this down. Those are the winners and losers. Let's go into the chat here. We do have a couple of things that have been said throughout this whole shigabagangang. Buzz thinks that they are definitely going to show what the upgrades look like side by side. We'll see. We'll see, Buzz. Kaneless says, you just want to see Metroid, and Nintendo really has nothing to show right now because they got them Animal Crossing money, so why would they give a fuck about anything else?
It's a very valid point. But come on, dude. You got to give me something. Metroid, I can give it a pass because it was retooled and scrapped after 2 years of work. I get it. Don't show it. But Bayonetta 3, Breath of the Wild 2, mm-hmm. something Mario. A collection, a Galaxy remake in HD, Metroid Prime Trilogy on Switch. Inexcusable.
He's got a point. You know, I want to, before we get into the hype zone, I wonder,
What do you want?
You know what would be a cool addition to Animal Crossing? Like, it would be a cool, like, hey, this is, like, added content. This makes the game really cool. Caves.
Humans as pets. Caves? Is that
caves. So, hear me out. You know how there's elevated elevated parts of, like, the cliff that you buy? You make inclines, but you need the ladder to get up? What if you could blow a hole in the side and make, like, an interior area?
So you want to do, like, advanced terraforming. That's what you want to do.
Yeah. Terraform 2.0 coming in summer 21.
That's next gen Terraform. That's a Switch HD and it can handle it. We can't do it right now.
Right.
And also our dial up will allow us to connect and create advanced terraforming technology.
We have to wait for the zip file.
Right. and then
we have to upgrade past 100 gigs on Dropbox.
Reggie calls and the download fails. God damn it.
Damn it, Reggie. Well, Reggie was in the news too this week, wasn't he?
What did he do?
He did something.
Wasn't Tom Nook also in the news? He was Business Weekly, some shit or other. some shit like that.
Here's the news. So Gary Whitta, of course, the writer of Book of Eli and Star Wars Rogue One.
That's a good movie. I like the other one, not so much.
I like them both. So he has created a talk show on Animal Crossing. So he gets in people like a Discord call with people, and he has like a night talk show. What's the word I'm looking for?
A late show,
like a Tonight Show set, and he has the guests come in with their avatar, sit on the couch, and they talk. Late night talk show, and so that, you know, he does all this thing. So I think he had Naomi Kyle, I think, was on not too long ago. But anyway, so he wrote to. Or somebody said to get Reggie Fils-Aimé, and Reggie responded. So there's a possibility that Reggie might be on Gary Whitta's Animal Crossing talk show. Also, Gary Whitta tweeted. This was actually pretty funny. I want to find it. Gary Whitta, here it is. Gary Whitta. So this was funny. Hold on, let me find it. It was about getting another guest, and this one was okay, here we go. Oh, damn it. Here it is. Okay, so he calls out Jeff Keighley.
Oh boy. This is gonna be good.
So he tweets, one person I can 100% guarantee will never be on Animal Talking, which is the name of his show, is Jeff Keighley. Just awful. And Jeff Keighley responds, excuse me? and he goes, oh, you God. Heard me. Gary Whitta just tweets back, you heard me. And then he says, holographic Jeff Keighley said, fuck you too, Gary. Gary Whitta said, ha, too much of a coward to show up himself, sends his hologram to fight his battles for him. Typical Keighley, bringing the weak sauce as usual. This is why he'll never get on the show.
So is this how we pitch guests going forward?
I just call him a coward.
Call him out on Twitter, yeah.
Call him a coward on Twitter.
And call him awful people on Twitter.
Just awful.
Like, we'll never get that. Fucking Troy Baker, he's a fucking coward.
Fucking Troy saying no to us. Who do you think you
never
are?
Get that garbage person Nolan North coming on our podcast.
I'm sorry, that was disrespectful. I apologize right there. All right, so let's get into the hype zone. Andy, take it away.
Now, this is another coward that won't come on our show. David Hayter needs a paycheck, and he says that he would love to reprise his role as Solid Snake enthusiastically, as quoted by IGN. So he was on the IGN Up at Noon show, and he was asked about coming back to the Solid.
Up at 5, what it's called now.
Oh, is that what's been renamed?
It's called Up at 5, yes.
So he was asked if he can come back to the Metal Gear Solid version, and he said, yeah, if they ask me, I'll come back for Remake or whatever the hell it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. Thanks for letting us know. We appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
You're missed.
It'll never happen because they don't want to spend money on
put you in a Pachinko game and the pot patchy slot game. That's what we'll do.
All right. You got a top score. All right. So we don't have anything in the mailbag, but we could check in with the chat.
Was highly active this evening. I like it.
Buzz says we left out a Battlefield story. Oh, that's right. Battlefield Or yeah. Battlefront? Battlefront, right? Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I wouldn't say we left it out. We just didn't put it in.
Let me
see. We ignored it.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 gets its official online multiplayer back. That's right. The 2004 game has its multiplayer thing back. So that's cool.
Way cool.
Also, some Nordic people
are offended by Assassin's Creed.
They are.
Because, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Because they have dreadlocks and braids, and that was not a thing that Vikings did ever.
Oh, no.
So they're upset about that.
This is life is a parody of itself.
Life.
This is all it is.
War never changes.
It's like when the clowns are offended by the It movies. Stop portraying clowns in a negative light.
Yeah, we're good people too.
And that goes back to fucking our upcoming thing with Postal 4. The postal lawsuit. Because of the term postal and having a post office guy, because you're portraying them in a bad light. Do you not know Berkowitz? Where the term going postal came from, you loons? Because he killed a bunch of people. It's like, it's kind of true.
It's kind of what happened. It's
kind of what you did.
Art imitates life?
Yeah.
Question mark? All right.
By the way, yes. As a quick little footnote to that whole story. Footnote. I did some reading up on it.
Yes.
There was actual a countersuit involved where the post office said that they were going to, at one point, and I kid you not, they were going to go into video games. And that's why they couldn't sell the Postal series, because they might use the term postal in their own imaginary video game that they're never going to make.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now. Okay.
They also sue. Well, no, never mind. Never mind. That's going to bring us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcast. And you can follow us on Facebook if you want to look at, you know, follow our page. That's facebook.com/dualscreens.com, DOTCOM. We stream this live every Sunday on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And you can find the video version of this podcast as well on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you, Zazu Pitts, for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our cartoon art. We do appreciate it. Thank you to all our patrons on patreon.com/NDS Podcast. We cannot continue to do this without all of your support. If you want to buy any merchandise, please do so. It's at dualscreens.com/store. All right, Andy, is there anything you want to tell the lovely listeners before we go?
Let's see. I'm going to keep growing my beard until all this is over. So, Caneless, always be here every Sunday to see the beard, how it advances and grows each week. And I might get some dreadlocks in the beard, just like the Vikings did.
All of the Vikings had that.
To stay safe, and you know, that's it. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb is a good way to end a show.
Don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb.
Do-do-do-do. Don't be dumb. We love you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And as always, please be excellent to each other.